اوكي اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك عثرنا عليهم ليعلموا ان وعد الله حق وان الساعه لا ريب فيها اذ يتنازعون بينهم امرهم تو لاست ویک وی ار ڈسکسنگ دس ورس اذ يتنازعون بينهم امرهم تو واٹ از مین اوكي پلیز لسن فیصل Listen it.
Are we on verse 22? Are we on the next one?
Yeah, next one, but you know, just say this, because you know, this one we have to still make it clear what it means. Otherwise, we will go to next one, inshallah. But last week we were discussing this verse, إِذْ تَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. So what does it mean? I was looking at Tafsir Tabari, and he has one meaning which actually can be better, I think. So he says again, إِذْ is connected with أَعْثَرْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made other people to know the people of the cave. And when he made it to happen, إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. When these other people, people of the city, they are disputing among themselves their own matter. What are the matter? Matter was the resurrection after the death. When people die, what will happen to them? So when they discuss this, that is the time when Allah made the people to know them. So I think this is better, this is clear. Because in this one, the fa'il of يَتَنَازَعُونَ will be the same people. Then bainahum, same, amrahum, also the same people.
So all
three whom actually refers to the people of the city. So that will be better. Let me see what he also. Yes, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُخْتَلِفِينَ فِي قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ وَإِحْيَاهِ اللَّهِ الْمَوْتَ بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِمْ حِينَ تَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ فِيمَا اللَّهُ فَاعِلٌ بِمَنْ أَفْنَاهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ فَأَبَلَّاهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ أَمُنْشِئُهُمْ هُوَ أَمْ غَيْرُ مُنْشِئِهِمْ. So there was the same.
Who says this?
Imam Tabari. Tabari in Tafsir Tabari. So this actually, I think this is better than what Zamakhshari has been saying. And then it says, فَقَالُ بْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنِيَانًا. Then he says, فَقَالُ بْنُوا أَيْ فَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَعْثَرْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ الْكَهْفِ. So the people who we made them to know the people of Cape, they said. So it is very, very connected. Okay, then. So that we have done. And then...
Yeah. Then it says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ. So, غَلَبُوا سِدْحَثَرْ.
غَلَبُوا?
Is that right? Because then the people who became dominant said, we'll make a masjid.
Yeah.
So it said, it suggests they were arguing about what they should do with the people of Kaf or not.
No, the dispute was about, they have become Christian, but there are different sects. There are people who say that, after life after death, there's no resurrection. So they're disputing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show that how people can have life after the death. So this story happened at the same time and all those things.
Then what's the reference to غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ?
No, then after that what happened, then these people died, the people of the cave, and then buried. And then after that people want to make a memorial for them and building for them. So people of the city, they said we have to go to make a building, but in the city the people actually were more powerful, maybe the people who were near to the state and the king, those who, غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ أَصْحَابِ الْكَهْفِ. So these people, they say we must build upon them a masjid. So last week we discussed that, the people have to take the lesson from the people of the cave. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to raise from their sleep is that people understand that the life and their after death, they should think about that. But people don't take any lesson. What actually happened? When they died, they want to build a memorial for them, a building for them. So that always happens. When pious people, they live with the people, they don't learn from them. And when they die, they make a masjid or building, a graveyard or shrine for them, and then they forget their actions. So this is not right the way, basically, that be pious like them. So Quran is not supporting to build a mosque or build a building. Quran is basically criticizing them. So this is one way of criticism. This is not the right way that you build a building upon the people, make them, make a memorial for them and build a mosque for them. This is not right way. The right way to be like them, to follow them, to building. As it is not allowed to make any memorial, similarly in Islam it is not allowed to build any building upon the people. So that's why people like in India, all the Muslims are so much proud that we are the people who built Taj Mahal. You are proud of something which actually Allah does not approve. In Islam, Taj Mahal is not approved. With this building on the grave, your own wife, Shah Jahan built this whole huge building, so expensive, just to, for a memorial of his wife, Mumtaz Mahal Begum. this is not Islamic. And war Muslims in India, the only contribution they give to made to Indian people is Taj Mahal. That's what they said, that we made Taj Mahal in India. But Taj Mahal itself is not in Islamic. You know, building the, you know, those memorials, they're really, you know, from Islamic point of view, they're very bad. We don't allow them by anyway. So there are Quran saying that when people die, instead of you taking lesson from them, you make building upon them, masjid upon them. But you can't say there are people who actually use this verse to support that if somebody dies, you can build the masjid. And the Quran is not supporting them, Quran is not praising them, Quran is criticizing these people. To build a building or build a mosque upon the graves of people, this is not what you have to do. You have to learn from their life, you have to follow them, you have, you to become pious like them, not to build a building upon them. So that's what we do when a prophet dies, somebody, just we want to make a building. We want to make a memorial for the people, we want to make a museum, you know, things like that for the memory. So this is again non-Islamic thing. Then the Quran discusses, this thing again, you see, what people should do, they don't do. The real thing is to learn from their life. Then after that, Christians are discussing what were the number of the people. You know, this is unnecessary. You don't need to know the number of the people, how many people. You need to know who these people are, how pious they have been, how good was their belief, and how firm they were in the belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what you need to learn. But what they will discuss, there are three people, the fourth was dog, five and the sixth one are dog, and some people will say seven, and the eighth one is dog. So, you know, this is actually not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this story. People have to actually learn from them. So Quran says, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ. Tell them, my Lord, He knows their number properly. He knows the best. وَمَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيرٌ. You know, nobody knows them except very few people. So, you know, most of people basically, they are discussing something which is not going to know to them. They don't know these things. So simply, the Quran does not want people to discuss. But at the same time, Quran wants to be fair. Among all the people discussing, there are still few people who know their number properly. But even if they know number properly, how can it benefit them? You know, if you know really exactly what the number of the people that gave, is going to benefit you? Even if you know their names, is it going to benefit you? So after all the discussion, even if you know the right number of the people, it's not going to benefit you. So the real thing actually, you know, the people always discuss things which are not real. In the right way, to know their Iman, their Islam, you know, how good they are in piety and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you need to know. You don't need to know their number. And actually, I've seen in Syria some ulama, you know, big ulama, you know, their name is well known now. You know, I was in the one assembly of one of the sheikh, you know, getting ijazah and samaa, and a woman came to make a dua. So the sheikh said, you know, for this dua, you have to read the name of the people of the Ashabul Kahf and the water that she drink. So one of the alim there, he's also known. So he said, okay, I'll do that. And then he, you know, did something verse, and then after that, he read the name of all those people, you know, as coming in Tabari and all those things, and he did, you know, blow and, you know, and took his breath, and then she had the water. You know, where this has come, you know, how the name of the people of the cave will have barakah. That thing really. Why not Allah's name? You know, is any name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has less barakah than the name of the people of the cave? You know, isn't actually Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is more powerful than anything in the world? Just think properly, why you need to mention the name of the people of the cave and the barakah? And if you have to mention the name of the creation, then mention the name of Muhammad and Ibrahim and those people, they are actually much more pious than the people of the cave. And in the Quran, it is not the only the best story among the stories that the Quran, the best one is Nuh al-Islam and all those people mention their name. But anyway, we don't sort say this anyway. And if any name is mentioned, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is ulama doing this thing. That I'm trying to say. This is not the Quranic way. But this I have seen in Syria, but I don't mean it only happened in Syria. But it happens everywhere in the world. You know, it must be people doing everywhere. So this is not right. Right way basically is learn from the people's life, yeah?
So people also use the example of the Prophet using his uncle. The Prophet,
you know, that hadith actually is very clear. People don't understand that hadith actually only said one thing, that when the Prophet was alive, we used to ask him to make dua. Now he has passed away, so now we are asking Abdullah and Abbas to make dua. And actually it has come very clear in some hadith that, you know, they ask him to make dua. Otherwise, the meaning is what people think, the tawassul and wasila that we used. Then what difference death makes? Actually, people who make wasila, they always make wasila of the dead people anyway. If you have to make tawassul, then why cannot make tawassul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death? If only you have to mention, oh Allah, forgive me because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whether he alive or death, it is the same thing. You don't need Abbas and Abdul Muttalib for that purpose. You just need, you know, any name. So that hadith actually is only because Umar Khattab, you know, said you know, we used to ask him, and now he's not there to his relatives, you know, Abbas is nearer to him. We ask him, Ka Umar is humble. Otherwise, actually, among all the people that time, nearest person to the Prophet in the fight is Umar al-Khattab. But you know, he does not want to mention himself, so he wants to bring the nearness of the genealogy, of the blood. That's what he's doing, the humble person. And also he wants to respect Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, that's what he wants to do. But that has nothing to do with Tawassul al-Wasila. So in the Quran says, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Tell, my Lord knows their name best. Nobody knows except few people. Though it has come in the many narration in Tabari and everywhere else, the Abbas, Abdullah and Abbas used to say, I am from those few people who know their number. Yeah, it could be that Abdullah Abbas among those people, but still it does not benefit anybody. It does not benefit Abdullah Abbas, it does not benefit anybody else. Knowing the number exactly is never useful. It never going to benefit anybody anywhere. So this is one of those knowledge. Really. You know, if we people learn that knowledge, we are not going to say haram, but we are going to say not beneficial. That's why Quran says, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Then don't dispute them, don't argue them about their number. تَفِيهِمْ مِسَا فِي عِدَّتِهِمْ. Don't argue about their number, except apparent argument. Meaning, just read this verse, that's all. You don't need to make any discussion and argument. Don't say anything. That's why the Quran says in other verse, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. When you make any argument make no meaning is, you know, you should not be deviated from your main point. Because people want to discuss, you know, certain things which is more interesting to them. But many of those arguments, they are not useful. So the way of the believer should be, they always should know really that this argument, this is going to benefit me or benefit them. No. Then actually, you should make effort to turn a person from that argument to something else. But most of the time, people have to waste their time in the argument and discussion, which actually have no usefulness anywhere. So the Quran is teaching the right manner. Right manner is that whenever anybody dispute you, you know, say a few words and then make effort to turn the person from that point to something more useful, more beneficial. وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And this knowing the number is not a useful thing, not a beneficial. So don't become so keen to ask people what their number was. So don't ask any of them about their number. So you know, this actually will tell you what is the useful knowledge in Islam, what Muslims should learn. So no doubt in our time, Muslims are learning, you know, many of those, you know, knowledge of the West, you know, in medicine, in the science, they're useful. You know, if people learn them from them, there's no harm in that. But some of those things really, which is no benefit in this world, neither hereafter, and discussing them and arguing them and, you know, learning from the people, many of those histories really, which actually have no relevance to us, to useless. Is it clear? Now the Quran is teaching a very nice manner through the Prophet
sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, I remember in the previous time when you were discussing the previous ayah, you mentioned the number is 7, and then you said that there's an indication in the ayah for this number. Yeah. But then the Quran later says that we have not told this number, we don't have this information.
You know, in the Quranic verse, Abdullah Abbas is inferring there is the indication that those who say 7 and the 8th dog is more correct. And that argument, you know, we can understand the reasoning. But Quran wants to say, even if you know the correct number, to what use? So Quran wants to say this actually useless thing, you know, simple thing is Allah knows the best. Allah knows their number. You know, there are many something not useful. Still, people can learn properly. You can know right now, but at the end of the day, so what did you get from that? You know, if you look actually, sometimes the people waste their time. So they have got, you know, these, you know, puzzles where they solve, you know, sometimes it is due to lunch time, many people in the offices, what they get, those magazines. So at the end, there are certain boxes that you fill this, what, that, what, you know, all these, the filling, and they waste their time. At the end of the day, even if you do all those things properly, rightly, what did you get from that? Unnecessary waste of time. You know, there are so many things more intelligent in the world. There are things more intelligent, you get agree, and also, you know, understand the technique there. In those things, there can be more than one right possible things. But the only right thing, what they have think it is right. In many of those, if you really want to learn, there are actually more than one possibility. They could be right, they could be better. But right thing in those matters are only what they have decided, nothing else. So if you don't do that, you are not right. You always be wrong. And after all that, what you learn from that? You know, if you learn some vocabulary, some language, that is better. Anything you learn, better. But wasting time, that thing, useless. So believers always should learn to understand really. You know, Islam is not against any worldly knowledge or against any knowledge. But Islam has always make very clear there are some beneficial knowledge and some harmful knowledge. Muslims always should be concerned about the beneficial and useful knowledge, and they should not waste their time about those knowledge which are, you know, just waste of time. So now the Quran is saying, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Yes, you know, the story basically as it is, that when people ask the Prophet certain questions about Dhul Qarnayn, about other things, maybe also including the people of the cave, so the Prophet was very confident that, you know, he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to him anyway, because this is the matter of the truth. If he tells them the story properly, then they will believe that he is a messenger. If he does not tell the story, they will not believe in him. So he was very confident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal. So he said, I will tell you tomorrow, something like that, you know, as soon I will tell you something like that. But he didn't say, if Allah wills, inshallah. The way of the believers is that, you know, you always must have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, nothing else. Not in your own knowledge, not in your friendship, not in your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with anything else except in Him. Because if you, if you basically trust in your relation, then basically meaning is you are giving weight to your own ibadah. So believers actually should deny every single thing other than Allah's own power. So there should be no trust in anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you have got all the things properly, for example, if you want to buy something tomorrow and you have got the money properly and you know there is a shop you can buy from there, and you say that I'm going to buy this item tomorrow with the money, still you have to say inshallah. Your trust should not be on your pocket, your money and your things, anything. Believers always trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So the word inshallah is basically just not be just, you know, lip service, just you say, you know, by your lip. It should be from the heart. Meaning is believers should know properly that they have no trust in anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Never a single thing, even if the easiest thing on the face of the earth. That's why the Prophet used to say, even if you have to, you know, repair your shoelaces, still you should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him alone. If He does not do, it will never can happen. So anything which is very easy, it can be difficult if Allah does not want. And if things are very difficult and Allah wants, it can become easier. So the right manner is always in all those things, that people should, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the thing is, once you say inshallah and trust in Him, then what happens is, then you know that you have done things properly. You have made every effort and you are trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you only say inshallah if you have done all the things properly. So whatever He commanded, you do properly, all the means and asbab properly, and then you say inshallah. Then after that, if it happens as you wanted, you know, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if it does not happen as you wanted, you should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, wants to do something better than you expected. You know, if what you wanted did not happen, that is better for you. You know, understand this properly. If you do all the things properly as He commanded you, and you also say inshallah, you trusted in Him, but still things don't happen as you wanted, it means that what happened to you, that was better than what you expected. Because you don't know your future. Allah knows the best. So by saying inshallah does not mean exactly that what you say it will happen. No, inshallah doesn't mean that. Inshallah only means that now you have done all your effort and you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you did your ibadah duty properly. Now what will be the reward? How He will take care of you? He knows the better. He knows what is best for you. He will do exactly what you wanted, or He can change it. He can do better than that. He can do different from that, and He can bring actually good from that. He knows how to take care of you. Now you have no blame. But if you don't do things properly as He commanded you, even if things happen as you wanted, don't be happy. He can make evil from that. You know, if people don't do things properly as He wanted from them, and they don't say inshallah, don't trust in Him, and things happen exactly as they wanted, they should not be happy. He is going to make those things evil for them. He can make evil from that. But if you do as He wants from you and you trust in Him, even if it does not happen as you wanted, you know, it is better for you. And actually there are many things. One of the, you know, Arabic poetry I was reading, it is very nice in this matter fits. So one of them says, وَيَقْبُحُ مِنْ سِوَاكَ الْفِعْلُ عِنْدِي فَتَفْعَلُهُ فَيَحْسُنُ مِنْكَ ذَاكَ. If something does something, if somebody does something, I feel it is very ugly, I don't like it. But when you do the same thing, it becomes nice to me. You know, something happens to me, painful to me, if by it somebody else does. But you do the same thing, nicer. When Allah does same thing, which I don't like from anybody else, I am happy. So he said, وَيَقْبُحُ مِنْ سِوَاكَ الْفِعْلُ عِنْدِي وَيَقْبُحُ مِنْ سِوَاكَ الْفِعْلُ عِنْدِي فَتَفْعَلُوهُ فَيَحْسُرُ مِنْكَ ذَاكَ. But when you do, it is nice. When Allah does same thing, for example, I don't want any harm in my life. But when I have done exactly what Allah commanded me, and still harm comes, I am pleased. Because what he is happy with, I should be happy. Because then he wants to test. He basically wants that how much is your trust. Your trust basically means that, you know, he wants to test you, that when you get what you wanted, how is your condition of your heart, and when you don't get what you wanted, how is the condition? If your condition of the heart both times the same because you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're happy. That Abu Hazim rahimullah ta'ala shayi man of wisdom, he said, Shay'ani idha amilta bihima asabta khayra dunya wal akhirah. Wala utawwilu alayka. There are two things. If you do them, then you get the good of this world and good of the next world. There are two things. Shay'ani idha amilta bihima asabta khayra dunya wal akhirah. Two things, if you do them, you will get good in this world and also in the hereafter. وَلَا أُطَوِّرُ. And I don't make it longer upon you. I don't want to make a long list, just two things. قِيلَ مَا هُمَا. People ask him what these two things are. قَالَ تَحْمِلُ مَا تَكْرَهُ إِذَا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. You know, you bear what you don't like if Allah likes it. If Allah likes something but you don't like, you bear it. Be patient, because Allah likes it. وَتَتْرُكُ مَا تُحِبُّ إِذَا تَكْرَهُ اللَّهُ. And what you don't, what you like, but Allah does not like, leave it. If something you like, and Allah does not like, leave it. And if something you don't like, but Allah likes it, bear it. Even if you don't like, just bear it. If you do these two things, you get the good in this world and hereafter. Abu Hazim al-Shaji al-Madani, you know, he's a wise man of Medina. That Sufyan Uyainah said that sometime I went to Zuhri and I said to him few sayings of Abu Hazim al-Shaji. So Zuhri said, Abu Hazim was my neighbor in Medina. I never knew that he knows these things. Abu Hazim, very great, great man, so much wisdom for him. You see how nice he said. He said, if you just do these two things, you get good in this world hereafter. You don't like something but Allah likes it, bear it and be patient, have patience. You like something but Allah does not like, then leave it. Abu Hazim, Abu Hazim al-Ashja'i al-Madani from Medina. Very nice thing. Shay'an idha amilta bihima asabta khayra dunya wal akhirah. Wala utawwilu alayka. Qila lahu ma huma. Qala tahmilu ma takrahu idha ahabbahu Allah. Wa tatruku ma tuhibbu idha karihahu Allah. If people do this thing, it is easier. Life becomes so easy for them. Because the matter actually is that we really don't know what is good for us. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to how to learn, but still we cannot know completely. He has given us eye to see, but still our eyes don't see things properly. He has given us ear to hear things, but still we don't listen things properly. He has given us mind to think properly, but still we cannot think properly. So that why the ultimate trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometime it happens actually, but your eye will say it's not good for you, your ear will say it's not good for you, your mind will say it's not good for you, but it is good for you. Asa antakrahu shay'an wa huwa khairul lakum. It is possible, more likely, that you don't like something, but that is good for you. Wa asa antuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrul lakum. It is more likely that you love something, but it is not good for you. Allahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamu. Allah knows and you don't know. If you really learn this thing, it is so nice. You know, that's why the ulama say, if you learn two words, life is easy. What two words is? Allah is Hakim and Hakim. That's two words. Hakim means he commands, he does whatever he likes. I don't have any command. He is the commander, he is the ruler, he does whatever he likes. And second word is what? Hakim. And whatever he does, that is good for me. His Hakim is wise. So he can do whatever he likes, and then whatever he does, that is best for me. Because he is Hakim. If you remember these two words, any problem happened to you, you never can be upset. because you don't like, but you know that Allah has done. If Allah did, it must be good for me. I don't know, see any good, but Allah knows better than me. So always have these two words in front of you. And if we allow the people to write on their wall, these two words are one of those that they should write on them. But why as soon as you write on the wall, you forget them. Don't write in the wall, write in your heart, write your in mind. That actually is the best thing. Really amazing words. And you know, they come in the Quran, when the Quran says Azizun Hakim, same thing. Al-Aziz al-Hakim. So Aziz means he's Hakim. And Hakim is wise. So when he does something, he has full right to do. So accept that. You cannot change that. And also accept that whatever he does, that is the best for you. So basically make yourself in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the dead body in the hand of the washer. Dead body cannot make any decision, cannot change itself. To become in the hand of Allah like the dead body in the hand of the washer, ghasil. You know, he can turn as he likes. Just because don't resist. Just be like that. It will see. Life will come so easy for you, inshallah.
So you know this ayah is specifically focusing on tawakkul before the asbab. Because you know it's, you have to have tawakkul before and then afterwards as well.
Together. That's tawakkul. Tawakkul means when you don't have asbab, just say we trust in Allah. That's tawakkul. That's not allowed. Tawakkul means you do as the best as you can do. Then after that, don't trust in what you have done. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And tawakkul is that you don't do anything. Just you say Allah is with me. That's tawakkul. That's not allowed.
But I mean, like, you know, for example, the dua about doing your shoelaces, you make dua before you actually tie them.
So. Yeah, but that dua basically is part of the asbab. The dua in that dua is part of the asbab, but in your heart, tawakkul is from the heart. The meaning is, you know, doubt you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know what to do. Open for me and make it easier. That's part of the asbab. You know, dua is one of the most effective things anyway. Dua is part of the asbab. It is one of the most important asbab. Believers basically, before anything, they should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So and also that why you can see the dua is also ibad. That why the ulama say that the reason why Quran says Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Isti'ana has come after the ibadah. Because ibadah is more general and isti'ana is part of the ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentioned the kul, then he mentioned the juz. Because we people always we go to isti'ana first, asking him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the thing in ibadah. Ibadah is everything. Your prayer, your fasting, your zakat, your hajj, and also your dua. So he first mentioned general ibadah, where you don't think that but dua is something you want anyway. So that way it has come after that. So ibadah is more, and dua is part of the ibadah. That hadith says dua mukhul ibadah, yeah.
So you need differentiating between tawakkul and tawakkul. Can dua itself not be tawakkul, like Maryam alayhi salam and the food that she received? It wasn't through means that we normally use to receive food. But that's not tawakkul though, is it? That's still tawakkul, isn't it?
No, tawakkul basically means that whatever you can do, you don't do, and just you say trust. We are not saying that do more than you can do. For example, if you like in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet only could bring 313 people. That's fine. He did as the best as he could do, and he making dua trust in Allah. So we don't want people to do more than they can do. Do as much as you can do, and then trust in Allah. And before that, no doubt, you have to also make the Prophet in Battle of Badr, he made so much dua. You know, making dua, crying so much, so because that also part of the asbab. You must actually make, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, your heart is, you know, for trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do whatever he does, you know, in the interest of you. But you know, the dua is part of the asbab, but it's more most effective, no doubt. But dua should not be, I'm trying to understand this, dua is not that, you know, you say, and mind, actually I've seen people in the mosque, they are making dua, and they're looking everywhere else. Is it dua? You know, if you're asking someone who you don't know,
looking for the dua to be answered.
No, if they do this, you know, you don't see the dua answer. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, if you don't know, then if somebody ask, you know, Jafar Sadiq rahimahullah ta'ala, that why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's not fulfilled. So he said, because you don't know who you're asking. You don't know him. You know, it's not that thing that if you are in front of a king and you're asking him, are you going to do like that? No, you will concentrate. So people don't know who they're asking.
What would be the best manner in making dua? You would ask for what you want and then say if that is best for me.
No, don't say like that. No, do properly. No, ask what is best for you, what you know. Then he will do what is best for you.
I see.
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants believers to use their mind. Use your mind, use your thinking. You know what is best for you. Sometimes you don't know. Then you have to ask him, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me what is best, do what is best for you. Sometimes you don't know, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But very often you know, because he has given you mind, thinking, he has given the Quran. You learn the Quran, learn, consult the ulama, what is best for you, and then ask that. and trust in him, and then after that, if it happens exactly what you ask him, thank him. If it does not happen, then be patient. Do sabr, good will come from you. But believers must make effort to know what is good for them. Because that's why he's giving guidance. Why he gave eye? He has given eye to use it. He has given the mind to use it. Use our mind properly, think properly, see properly, and then follow it. But still you should know that Allah is the one who does good and bad. You don't do. Your eye don't benefit you. Allah benefits you. Your mind does not benefit you. Allah benefits you. Therefore, you shouldn't understand. But the people who don't use their faculties properly, they are lazy. And laziness is never allowed. Lazy people have no barakah, no help from Allah SWT. Yeah, because you can't think, but don't think. You want Allah to think for you. So this is not right. You don't fight, you want Allah to fight for you. He's not going to fight for you. Like Musa, when he asked his people, go and fight, they say, "Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hauna qa'idun." This tawakkul. That we are sitting here, you go and your Lord fight, and we are sitting here. Allah is not going to fight for you. You have to fight, but trust and but believe that your fight is not going to benefit you unless Allah wants. Do every single thing you can do. Meaning is, don't ask ulama to get a son. First marry, then make dua. It is not that Allah can do anything. So he can give me a son without marrying. No. First you do it. He made the asbab. Marry someone and then make dua, Allah give me a son. That's fine. But if you don't no marry, nothing. Just ask Allah, Allah give me a son. This is sin. This is not allowed. What is the question?
The question that was linked to what you were just saying about, it's just judging that I've done my best now. So where is the limit? Where one can say, okay, I've done best now, I can't do anything more. Where can one understand that point? So, as an example, if you're studying, for example, where should one understand, okay, that is what I could do in my time or effort, I can't do anything else, now I need to start having tawakkul in Allah?
No, most time people know. You ask Allah SWT help, that Allah SWT, I want to make this effort, and I ask him to help you, and then you do as best possible. And sometimes you don't understand. Ask anybody else what best means, and then you follow that and trust Allah SWT. That's what happens. So, for example, if you don't know how much to make effort in exam, then ask other people who know these things. Ask your teachers how much effort I should make. Ask people who are senior to you. They have done the same thing. And ask in anything, for example, if you want to, do my research, for example. So you don't know, what are the procedure, ask people who know, and then do exactly the same thing, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every single thing, people, most time people know what to do. If they don't know, ask people who know.
So, the Quran uses ism al-fa'il as a verb, so inni fa'ilun or inni ja'ilun. Why does it use that and not a normal fa'il, like, inni sa'afal, for example?
Because in Arabic language, when you use ismul fa'il, it is more determination. It means, you basically determine. If you say, I follow, that is normal way of saying. But fa'ilun means, you certainly you want to do. Means, unless something actually moves you, you are determined. Actually, ismul fa'il basically means you are determined to do something. So it's good in those cases to use the word, ismul fa'il means you have full determination that will happen. Yeah.
So here there's a break, because inni fa'in dhalika ghadan illa an yasha' Allah, that's the full sentence, but the end of the ayah comes in the middle. Do we know the wisdom? Is it so that you reflect, or so that you realize you should never say this?
Yeah, because the verse actually sometimes in the Quran that I can see, and verses end. But the full meaning can be known of when you collect them. So sometimes connection there. But no doubt, because Quran first want to make it clear that this way is very wrong. Yeah. It only can be allowed when it is connected with this one. So no doubt. And then also Allah SWT also helps people more things. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ. So it needed really full guidance.
Why is it still not part of the previous ayah, just at the end? Why is it
a
new ayah?
We have to think, because one way is what we have been discussing is that first Allah SWT wants to stop people from saying, I'm going to tomorrow. Then he wants to say that the only way you can do this is when you make inshallah. So for future, think that to promise anything is not not your way. You can't do anything. But this only can happen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually you trust in him. With his will only can happen, not with your will.
Is it also saying that it's not wrong to be determined and wanting to do something? The only thing that you need to do is to add that trust in Allah. So if it's coming as part of Ayah 23, just the determination to do something, then that's not... What's wrong? The wrong thing is that you can believe in that and trust in that.
Yeah, but Quran, because the Prophet ﷺ make determination, but without saying inshallah. The first Quran wants to criticize that. That should not happen.
So what I'm saying is that Quran is not criticizing the determination.
Yeah, not, no, not, not, yeah. But why to make it separate? This is the reason what we are thinking. The reason could be because that what most people do. They will say, tomorrow I will do. You know, something like that. The Quran wants to say, stop these things. You know, people should not say. If you want to say this, the only way, you know, stay in line, inshallah. That only way, you know, make with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly.
What about like really common expressions like, see you later, see you tomorrow? There's one...
Yeah, because we are not we have not made Quranic way in our life, so that's why we do. But the way in Islam always is make it inshallah. Mm-hmm. All Islam, you get so much reward from that. You know, this actually, but if you say from your heart, you know, it's still going to see. You know, the believers and unbelievers do the same thing. The only thing is believers get reward for what they do, and believers don't get any reward. Quran says, "Takunu ta'lamuna fa'innahum ya'lamuna kama ta'lamun wa tarjuna min Allah ma la yarjun." If you have pain, they also have pain. But you hope from Allah what they don't hope. That's the only thing. It's not the believers actually don't have. Believers, you know, in the exam, believers also have to work as hard as unbelievers. But what happens when believers work hard, they also get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believers don't do it. It's not that, you know, believers will get things without doing anything. No. Believers also will have defeat, sometimes victory, sometimes they will succeed, sometimes they fail. Believers exactly have same thing as unbelievers. But the only difference is when believers get the problem, they get reward for that. You know, and when they make effort, they get reward for that. You know, it is, you know, what Muhammad has some question. Yeah?
Yes, sorry, two questions. How do we know the end of a verse? I mean, here the publisher decided to put the number 23.
No, nothing to do with the publisher. No, this actually, you know, the verse actually are, you know, tawqifi. That, you know, where the, you know, there's few differences somewhere, but it's, you know, the verse is not by publisher.
In some editions, there isn't a break and stuff like that.
So. Where is it? Which edition this?
Yeah, in some, I have a different
Quran.
It's always the same
stuff. No, which Quran? I never, people in tafsir never say that there's difference in the verse here.
I thought that's why the Quran had alamat waqf, like after insha'Allah here.
No, alamat waqf is a different matter. There are some ijtihad. But end of the verse, I don't think there is ijtihad in end of the verse. Sometimes you can see even actually, you know, the huruf al muqattaat, some of them they have got verse, some of them don't have verse. Some of them actually, you know, you have to connect qaf wal Quran majid, don't have. But some of them you stop, you know, nobody can, there no reasoning, obvious reason from the people. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse actually, when they end, when they're coming, it's not from the people. Yeah, because the thing is, in Surah Al-Fatiha, what actually happens in Surah Al-Fatiha became more fiqh matter. Everybody noticed 7 verses. But Shafi people insisted that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is part of the 7 verses. So now they are making every effort to make Surah Al-Fatiha 6 verses with Bismillah 7. So it is insisting unnecessarily. So, you know, this is proof that Shafi madhab is not right. Hanafi madhab is not right. Because, you know, you're changing the verse of the Surah Al-Fatiha, 7 verses, and the way people, you know, it becomes 8. So to make it 7, they basically, you know, change the number of the verse. Yeah.
When Allah says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ, does it mean نَسِيتْ, the trust, or
نَسِيتْ, and تَقُرْ? Yeah, that we are coming, inshallah. That is coming, actually, that, you know, that is what actually, what people are forgetting.
Saying inshallah when speaking to non-Muslims, is it preferable to say it in Arabic, in English, or in Arabic with a low tone?
You know, basically, it's the thing actually, you are not saying to anybody else, you are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, either you're saying yourself, whether that person knows or not, it's not that you are teaching him something. It is your own heart, your own action. It is obligatory on you, even if there's nobody listening to you, still you have to say. If you want to do something tomorrow, what, you know, if you say, to say properly. If you want to think with trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not necessary that other person listen. Necessary to be that person. No, you can say, because what when you say, that's what it means. Because if you just make heart, then very quickly you can miss it.
But, yeah. Given that the Prophet ﷺ was relying on Allah to send this revelation down, doesn't that mean that the trust was already there because he wasn't going to produce an answer from himself? So, you know, does that then mean this verse tells us that we have to say inshallah?
Yeah, I know. So you have to say trust should be expressed properly. Yeah. So, and also because when you say it will happen, it, because you are thinking that Allah will answer this question, but you are not thinking it is up to Allah to do. It is not like that. You know, for example, there are two ways. For example, sometimes you think that your mother loves you so much, so you know she is going to take care of that anyway. This is not right. Right basically is that I listen to my mother and my obey, and then I hope that she will take care of me. So the other way is wrong. So basically, the way the person did it, it is more like looking at the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Allah is teaching you, it should be more from the angle of the uluhiyyah. Meaning is, you should do properly what Allah has commanded you, and then trust Him, then He will take care of. Just don't think only as a Rabb. That's what children do. Meaning is, the Prophet now has to move from that point. No doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been making so much favor, but now he has to do what adults do basically. So children always, children also trust in their mother, but their trust is like being as a mother. But when you become grow up, then your trust should be as obedient child. You obey, and then you trust on the obedience. Yeah.
Isn't it also be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Prophet to teach people as well?
Oh, no doubt. Certainly, in everything that happens in the life of the person, basically, Quran uses that to teach people. So, those things are, because the Prophet missed this thing. But also, the Prophet needs also to learn. Because he only learns through the Quran. He does not have any source of the knowledge other than the Quran. So, in his life, basically, these things actually are coming very important. Then he started learning. And then he never misses. Then he follows the Quran properly.
Emphasizing the fact that Allah does whatever He likes whenever He likes. So we don't determine whether it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, but the thing, but that should be part of our obedience. That's what Allah wants. No, certainly, whether you believe or don't believe, Allah does everything. Certainly. But for the believer, it is important to know that and to act according to that. That's what makes you a believer. But otherwise, at the end of the day, whether people believe or don't believe, Allah is the one who does everything.
What about when we're writing or emailing
non-Muslims
and say we're arranging an appointment?
Yeah, that's another matter. When people write an email, if you think that your writing will be not respected properly and your name of Allah, then many people suggest that you say verbally, don't write it. Say inshallah, but don't write it. Okay. So the many people advise. Similarly, for many things, like Allah's name when it comes, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you think you're writing the letters and it can be not respected properly, then the best way basically is that you write as minimal as possible, but say verbally. So that will be enough, inshallah.
We've got a few questions. One from Brother Flak is saying, Sheikh, culturally we use inshallah for everything, even for things we are not going to do. From the sunnah, how should it be used? Is it indicative of something you have made wajib upon yourself to do?
That's the thing. In our time, when people don't want to do something, they say inshallah. So Tablighi Jamaat people, they say that who is going 40 days, make intention. Then the people say inshallah, because they're thinking just say something so that at least they don't ask you again. So people don't want to do. It's not they want to do. Quranic ways you want to do, and then you trust Allah. But we actually say inshallah because we don't want to do. So this is not culture, it is religion. So people should understand. We have to really make effort really. That when we say words, we have to, it's coming from the heart. That why you can say our inshallah does not have any ibadah. Well, inshallah only has ibadah when it's coming from the heart. Innamal amal bin niyyat, the simple thing is that our actions are with intentions.
Another question from Brother Muhammad Ishaq. Is it right to say Allah exists without a place, since He created the place and He is not in need of His creation?
I don't know why people need to say anything. We don't need to say anything. Just say what Allah said about Himself and ask Him, worship Him. We need to worship and do ibadah. We don't need to say whether it is a place or not a place and all. Unnecessarily burden for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just want to worship and obey Him and ask Him. Where Allah is, we don't know this thing. We only know what He said in the Quran. That is on the arsh, He said He is with you wherever you are. We believe in all those things, but we don't want to discuss this thing. We want to ask Him, we want to worship Him, we want to trust Him. Do what is useful for you. Don't discuss about Him. You never can know how He is. You only know very, very little about Him. What He has said in the Quran, and also you understand very little. So you never can know Him anyway. So you don't waste your time about those things. Spend your time to worship Him, then you know Him more. People who worship Him, Allah SWT increase their knowledge. Those who don't worship, they want to know through theology and kalam and this kind of argument, they always remain ignorant. But those who worship, every time they become nearer to Him. The only way to know Him, to worship Him. Like the only way to know your house is when you live in it. So for every knowledge, you need to know how to have the knowledge. For example, if you like a doctor, to only where your basically your knowledge increases when you do practice properly. So the only way believers know Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is when they worship Him, when they ask Him, that only. If you discuss and argue, you never can know Him.
So, you said earlier about somebody was asking about writing in Shabbat, and you said you shouldn't write the name of Allah on something which you think might be disrespected. The letters that the Prophet used to send out with the Sunnah, and one of those was torn up. So I guess he knew that some of them would not be treated with respect.
Yeah, but no, because expectation is that when people write letter to the, you know, honorable put they will respect it, they will keep properly. That person did not. So more, you know, when you think it more likely going to be respected, yeah, they'll respect it. That's why, you know, for traveling a journey, when you think that, you know, you can take the Quran properly with respect, then take it. But when you think that something can happen, disrespect, then don't take it. Then when you go there, you know, you can get a copy of the Quran from there. So people have to think it. So similarly, when you write letters, usually you write letters, but you know, on the emails and this and that, you know, very often, you know, anything can happen. But anyway, it have to everywhere to decide themselves. But the words of names of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and the verses, and inshallah, all those, they should be respected. Okay, stop here, inshallah.